Hello, hello.
Hey, what's going on, big guy?
Oh, just got finished a hot soccer tournament and I am dead.
I bet, dude. How many games did you play today?
Four?
Four?
Yeah.
Jeez. How long are these games?
Hour-long games. Or about 50 minutes, about 25-minute halves.
So what you're saying is you got approximately 3.5 hours of continuous exercise today.
Yeah, dude, you should see my face. Like, my face is bright red. I forgot sunscreen, so
oh, fuck.
I am burnt to the bone.
Hold on a second, though. He's a goalie, right?
Oh, yeah, I suppose he doesn't actually have to move then.
No.
Well, so the way...
That's like stop.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Come on.
All right, so the way it worked, actually, is so... I actually got invited from my old goalie coach invited me because he kind of messed up his ankle. So then he was like, my ankle's actually feeling pretty good. So the first game we split. So I started in net and then he finished it. And then I just sat. Then the second game, he's like, I'm feeling good and we need speed up top. So then I played forward the whole second game.
Has he ever seen you run before?
Have you ever seen me run before?
Well, if it's only like you're skating, it's pretty slow.
I can tell you that my skating is much worse than my running.
Yeah, I think Michael could outrun me, but I don't think he can outskate me.
That yes, I agree. I'd probably agree with that. And then there was only six teams in the tournament, so we only had to win one game to make it to the semis.
Oh.
So thanks for the encouragement, Dalton. And I'll have you know, in the one game we won, I finished with a goal and an assist and the GWG.
Ho ho!
Yeah, not a big deal.
My man's a wow. Sniper.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Was this like a, was it? Oh, no. I won't say it. Never mind.
Well, welcome continue. Everyone. Episode 24 of South of the Blue Line.
The final regular season episode, I guess?
Yes, this is the final regular season. Like, I'm thinking, like, if we're trying to save content, I guess we should probably figure out what we're going to do for next season. Obviously not right now, but, like, I don't have any predictions for the – I have one prediction. Or, I mean, guess two for tonight.
You have two predictions for tonight, and that's, yep. That's about it.
Yeah, and Dalton, you have drawn even with Chris. It is 6-6-5 for the two of you guys.
Y'all doubted my pessimistic guesses.
Dude, your pessimistic guesses were right on last week. I'm looking here, and we have one win out of all eight games that were played.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awful, dude.
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
I didn't realize the Jets were so bad this week. Holy.
Yeah, they did not do very well.
Oh. But, you know, that's okay. Leon's at 49.
All right, so do you think he's going to get to 50?
Dude, if he doesn't get to 50, I'm not going to watch hockey next year.
I know, right? I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, like, I got nothing else to live for hockey-wise this year, so. What else is there? Beating the Flames one last time? I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be great. That would be great. Beat the Flames one last time. Well, boys, should we jump into breaking down this depressing week of almost winless?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Well, let's see. Where do we start? We begin. Our story begins with the Jets versus the Habs. Chris, we know how short your memory is when it comes to week games or games that were a week ago. Anything stand out for you in the 3-1 loss to the Habs?
No, not really. The Jets just doing what they're doing, which is not playing well.
Yeah, and the way the Central's kind of shaken out, it's like no one wants to win the Central.
Oh, have you seen the, like, some dude on Reddit made this entire chart based on what happens, who's going to win the Central kind of thing?
No, I have not.
Wow.
It's a nice little flow chart where it's like Winnipeg gets the first crack at possibly winning, and then I think it's Nashville, then St. Louis. And then basically, if they all lose in regulation, then it starts all over again.
Kind of thing. Geez. So then the Oilers take on the Ducks. I think they go up 1-0 in this game, and then Rickard Rakell scored a – oh, no, they didn't. They went down 2-0. Rickard Rakell scored a hat trick in the second period. Snore, turned the game off.
That's what happened, yeah. Down 2-0. Up 2-0, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I was being too hopeful. Then the only win of last week, the Jets beat the Hawks 4-3 in overtime.
Fucking barely. Fucking barely.
Wasn't this a comeback game for Chicago? Weren't the Jets up and they tied it late?
Yeah, 2-0 for the Jets, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They can't hold a lead to save their fucking lives, so yeah.
Yeah.
Looking real good heading into the playoffs.
Who's to blame?
Is Morrissey back yet?
No.
Yeah.
No, he's not. And Buffalo's playing like ass, and Line A has scored 5 goals in the last half a season, and Nick Ehlers doesn't know what he's doing, and Mark Scheifele looks like first-year Mark Scheifele. It's terrible.
So a lot of positives is all I'm hearing here.
Yeah, right. This is going to be a depressing episode.
Hellebuyck is playing extremely well.
I will say that.
That's something.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Hellebuyck and totally off topic, Michael, you're doing pretty good in fantasy.
So if I can flex on y'all one more time, this year in fantasy, I am currently leading in the final playoff game of the season. I'm going for my first win of Lord Stanley's Jockstrap. I'm looking forward to it. I would like to dedicate the win and honestly the MVP of the season, Connor McDavid, on my team.
God, dude, you know what? I'm going to ban you from ever picking first again.
All right, listen, it's random. I didn't even do it like that.
It's random, he says, as he gets Connor McDavid first overall.
Well, listen, I'm actually thinking about starting an entirely new still named Lord Stanley's Jockstrap, but a whole new fantasy league for next year, because most of the guys that we play with, Dalton, don't even check it anymore. So, and I don't really talk to any of them anymore. So I'll open it up to you guys. Chris, if you'd like to join Lord Stanley's Jockstrap, you're more than welcome.
Ooh, it's getting personal now.
Yeah. So then the Oilers lose 3-1 to the Knights. I think this one was, it's obviously closer, but the Knights, honestly, it was one of those games where they outclassed us almost out of the building. As soon as they took that third lead, it was like their 3-1 lead. It was just the Oilers were not getting any shots on net. They weren't getting any good chances. Like they were just like, you are not scoring anymore.
Yeah. I didn't even think Malcolm Subban even looked that good. It's just,
he didn't.
Just nothing.
Though we should take a second and say, so here is my question. What has a bigger gap? My GPA or Koskinen's glove side?
How many math courses did you take this semester?
Just one.
Oh, I'm going to go with Koskinen up high then.
I think you're right. What is going on with that? The man is literally 6'7". In the butterfly, his shoulders hit the crossbar. Why does he keep getting beat high glove?
All right. So I was talking to my dad a little bit about this.
Okay.
This crazy guy, you know, all about advanced stats, this weird dude. Anyways, apparently there's two different, like, ways of making saves up high. And there's one way that's, like, the Carey Price kind of style where you're, like, your upper body is pretty mobile, so you can go back and forth a lot easier.
Yeah.
Apparently Koskinen plays the other way where his upper body's not mobile at all.
Right, he just relies on positioning and size.
Yeah, exactly. Which works for him a lot, but God, apparently not.
Except it seems like every team we play nowadays every shooter on the team has gone through like a 3-hour like rigorous training course on how to beat him high.
Yeah, you should just instruct Drysdale to take one tease at Koskinen's head until he learns how to use his glove.
Exactly. Moving on, the Jets lose to the Wild 5-1, and Chris, this one's got a sting.
Well, not really.
No, you're unfazed by the Wild beating you guys?
It's kind of like a couple years ago, the Jets beat the Chicago Blackhawks like 5 games in a row in the regular season, but the Hawks were like number one in the Western Conference and the Jets didn't make the playoffs. So that's, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. They just had our number this year, but again, pretty much every team has our number this year because we're garbage. So
dude, I have a very hard time feeling sorry for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm talking to the wrong people about this for sure. It's just hard to see your team fall so far in one year.
Yeah, you need to go jump on a Leafs podcast, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. So then the Oilers lose to the Avs 6-2. This was another turn the game off. No, quick shout out. Milan Lucic scored.
Beautiful tip, I think.
Yeah, it was. He's up to 6 on the year, boys.
Holy, he's just getting started, you know. His last game against the Avalanche.
Hey, guys, I'd like to point out Milan Lucic is making $1 million for every goal he scores this year.
I mean, so am I.
Yeah, for sure. Then the Jets lose 3-2 to the Avs in overtime. This was another kind of blown lead.
Mm-hmm. I thought they played fairly well in this game, but again, I mean, there's no killer instinct, and it's like they, you know, they can't take a game over. Like, they just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. And then last game of the week, the Oilers lose 3-2 to the Sharks. This was also one that I kind of got frustrated with. The Oilers went down 3-1. We kind of scored late, and then the Sharks were like, all right, we're done playing with you guys.
I mean, at least Draisaitl scored a couple times.
Yeah, Draisaitl scored 2 goals. He needs 1 tonight, man.
That's all I was really cheering for over this last couple weeks anyways. So
Yeah. So then in this last week, so no one's clinched, as we talked about before, no one has clinched the Central lead yet. But this week, with a couple of actually losing every game, the Oilers are eliminated from the playoffs, officially, mathematically. I'm really glad I wrote that article. That was a lot of fun. So
Dustin, as they needed to go 9-0-2 and go 2-0-9.
Yeah, exactly.
2-9-0 or whatever.
So Draisaitl, no, not tonight. They're going to go 3-7.
I believe in them.
Yeah. So Dalton, what's your initial thoughts with the Oilers being eliminated?
I mean, the writing was on the wall for a long time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Basically, as soon as they got to the point where they needed to fire Chiarelli, the season was done.
Yeah.
It was over.
You think by then it was already too gone?
Like, they let him try and make desperation moves to save his job that just hurt the Oilers even more. So, It's like, by then, yeah, it was done. It needed a miracle.
Yeah.
McDavid tried his best, but
we need a hero.
Feel good about this, guys. At least you're not Blue Jays fans, because imagine having a 9% chance of making the playoffs and having to play 162 games. That's depressing.
Yikes.
Jesus.
Have they been that bad so far?
Oh, well, yeah. That's the first. They're just not a very good team right now.
I don't watch baseball at all. Weren't the Blue Jays really good like 2 years ago? Weren't they like in the...
Yeah, about 3 years ago, they made the playoffs a couple times. They make a playoffs every 15 or 20 years. So kind of like the Oilers.
Oh, nice. So, Chris, what are your first thoughts to the Oilers being eliminated?
Well, I mean, obviously, that thing that they say, you know, if you're not in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving, you have a very small chance of actually making the playoffs rings true again. Although I will say, I think the St. Louis Blues were dead last in the NHL past U.S. Thanksgiving, so it can change, but it's not likely. I rack my brains about the Edmonton Oilers over and over again. I don't know why they're like the way they are. I just don't get it.
I just
don't get it. They should be better than they are. There's just no doubt. And they're going through coaches, and it's not mattering. I think... I don't know. It's depressing.
It sounds like we're discussing what to do with our, like, 15-year-old kid. It's like, man, he just doesn't go to school anymore. He keeps yelling at his coaches.
Oh. And the other night, he came back, and I'm pretty sure I smelled alcohol on his breath. I mean, he's out of control.
Alcohol? No.
I know. And so then with being officially eliminated, McDavid said some things which were honestly great to hear from him, sad to hear from him, but necessary to hear from him. Let me read them to you because I have them right here. Are you guys ready?
Go right ahead.
Okay, so so first off, this interview was great. So the first question they hit him with after the loss to the Golden Knights was, you guys seem to be clicking as a team right now. Do you think that will carry the next season? And he just looks at the lady and in his flat, dead tone just says, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Doesn't really matter.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And then they hit him with the, when did you find out that the Oilers were eliminated from the playoffs? And he goes, just now, actually. That was brutal. So then they ask him his thoughts on that. And he goes, yeah, it sucks, obviously. It's not good enough all year. We let streaks drag on, let times where we could find a way to win drag on. You got to find a way to stop the bleeding quick. It's a slim margin of error in this league. There's a lot of teams that were right there. We did our best to stay in the fight, just a little too late. He goes on to say, it's been an insane season, coaching change, GM change, good times, bad times. It's been a roller coaster. It's been emotionally challenging. It's been mentally hard to kind of keep on going, but we're always kind of right there. We were close, then we drift away. That's how it goes.
Ow. This one's hurt, man.
I cried hearing this interview. So Dalton, what are your initial thoughts on what he said?
Please don't leave McDavid. You're the only reason I keep watching. Not quite, but pretty close at this point. God, dude, that all of it's true. I mean,
it breaks your heart, doesn't it?
It really does, because you can tell he's really beaten down.
Yeah. No, you can see it, though, just like in his post-game interviews. Like, he just looks dead.
Yeah.
Well, so, Chris, hearing this, what do you think?
Oh,
he didn't want to answer the question. That's how he felt about it.
That's right. That's a tough question to answer.
Continue on, Dalton, then.
Oh, God, dude. I don't know much more I can say. It's like I don't even know if I can try and, like, come up with a comparison to what he's feeling. It's like he just, you know, walked into a test and then walked out of it knowing you couldn't answer a single question kind of thing, right?
Yeah, he barely could write his name on the top, right?
Is it Connor McDavid or David McConnor?
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
We've all been there. It's a tough
one. Okay, so I pose a question to you. Listening to Elliot Friedman on 31 Thoughts podcast, he said he gives the Oilers 2 years to figure it out. And if they don't, McDavid asks for a trade in 2 years. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't blame him if he wanted out after 2 years. Like, how long would you keep going to something if you're literally the best in the world at it, and even you can't save a team?
Well, yeah, like, the thing is, like, I was like, right, like, if people ask, like, oh, how are the Oilers doing, and you don't give them, like, team stats, you just go, McDavid's having another career year. Mm-hmm. Dreisaitl's about to, is having a career and about to hit 50 goals. Chiasson career year, Nuge career year, like all these different things. Yeah. You'd be like, man, like all these players are really like doing really well. You'd think we were a better team. And then you're like, well, no, because after all those people I just listed, that's it.
Yeah, literally that's it.
Yeah, exactly. So Chris, hearing what McDavid said, what do you think?
I mean, I wish people would stop asking stupid questions. That'd be the first thing I want to say.
Yeah, for sure.
But unfortunately, that's a product of the NHL and the way that they basically castrate all their players and coaches. They don't really say anything about anything meaningful every once in a while.
Oh.
Well, every once in a while.
Is he gone?
What a good stuff.
No kidding.
Oh,
there you go. Oh, man. He's having issues today.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, it was really just, like, disappointing to hear, like I said, like, he just, right, like we said, like, he looks dead and beaten down, but I said this last night, if they trade Connor McDavid, I will stop watching hockey.
I'll stop being an Oilers fan, that's for sure.
Okay, so Dalton, they trade Connor McDavid, what team are we going to?
Which team did they trade Connor McDavid to?
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
But also,
Connor McDavid to the Flames.
God, dude. Why?
Is that end of hockey for you?
Oh. I don't even know. That is so tough. I would, like, if that happened, I'd need, like, a solid, like, 2 months to think about even if I was going to watch hockey anymore.
I think I'd process it the same way I go through, like, a breakup. I'd just, like, sit there and, like, sob and listen to sad music.
Yeah,
every now and then you'd go on Instagram and, like, go to Connor David's profile and, like, look at pictures. People come in the room and be like, that's not healthy. You got to stop thinking about him. And then you're just like, I can't. I miss him so much.
Just start looking at some other star players. Look at Austin Matthews. You know, just not the same, man.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Chris, you were saying.
I don't know what you guys heard. Did you hear anything?
Power cast rating players.
And coaches. But sometimes coaches. Something blank, blank, blank.
Something
through, I'm guessing you're trying to say, or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes people will say things where you really have to read between the lines to get what they're saying. And I think that was, like, the case there. Is, you know, I feel bad for him that he has to – he's such an exceptional hockey player, and he has to – like, he must feel like there's no hope that they'll ever win.
So, Chris, when you dropped out, I actually said that Elliot Friedman had said that hearing these comments he gives the Oilers 2 years to figure it out before McDavid, like, asks for a trade. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would concur with that. I think, you know, McDavid wants to win, right? And, you know, who wants to spend their entire career, like, just toiling with a team? Especially, like, it's not like, you know, playing in Edmonton is tax-free or there's the beach or really anything to do. It's Edmonton. So, basically, you're there to play hockey, and so you better get something good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. So then, guys, my next question, a little bit on a more positive note, hearing McDavid come out, say these things, seeing the way he looks, it shouldn't obviously have come to the point where this is what it takes, but do you think upper management will, like, I don't know, maybe, like, take it seriously now, or, like, actually, like, listen or do something more now that he's come out and said this?
I don't know, man. What more can they do?
It's like, be better?
That's what we're down to. Just be better.
Yeah.
Hire somebody that's better at their job. So if they weren't doing that already, I geez.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I 100% agree. Okay. So now moving on from the Oilers, Kucherov last night set the record of most points by a Russian player in a single season.
Take that, Ovechkin.
That is a hell of a record. And actually, Ovechkin did not hold the record.
Who was it?
It was a – I believe it was like a Yuri, and it started with an M. Magliev.
Yep. What?
Yep.
You don't know who McGillney is?
Yeah, that guy.
You don't know who McGill is. Oh, my gosh.
I also don't know, but seeing how mad Chris gets is just so funny.
You should have just gone with it and been like, yep, I know who he is.
I kind of felt bad for
Alex McGillney. So Alex McGillney, in case you needed to know, actually made it possible for Russians to play in the NHL. He was one of the first players to defect to he was on the national junior team, and then when it was in the US or Canada that year, and then he basically just didn't return with the team.
Didn't Malkin have to defect as well?
No. But that's way later. But like that was when they were controlled and they were not allowed to leave the country,
like,
and
the USSR.
Yeah, he defected.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Malkin had to defect though.
I don't think so.
One sec. I'm a Google
Malkin defection.
Did Malkin defect from Russia? Yeah, he did.
He did defect.
Wow. Okay. Did not know that. I thought it would have been solved by then.
August, ESPN article, August 13th, 2006. Yeah, so he basically it says here that he had to go to court with his old team that he played for in Russia, and they didn't want to let him leave. Yeah. Okay. So he played for Magnitogorsk, and they went to court with Pittsburgh Penguins because they wanted compensation after the sudden disappearance of their best player, Evgeny Malkin.
Okay.
They all like to talk about democracy, the American way, and the way they and then the way they shamelessly steal our players. This is pure sports terrorism. The general director, the general director of Magnitogorsk said. Yeah. So in 2004, Malkin secretly fled training camp in Finland, just days after agreeing to a new contract with the club. And he did it before he turned 20. He did that 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. A little hockey history, guys.
But also...
By the way, so Alex McKillop was a pretty special fucking hockey player. I can't believe you guys don't know about
him. Like, his name rings a bell, but, like, it's hard to place.
He was in the Pavel Bure era.
Okay.
He was sick.
A little bit before him. But he was a fantastic hockey player. I highly recommend, if you guys are bored, just go on YouTube and look up Alex McGillney.
All right, for sure.
He was a great hockey
player. All right.
I hated him because he played for the Canucks. Yeah. But
so he's great. As of right now, I have the – well, since of last night, we have the what the playoffs will be for the most part. Obviously, there is a little bit of change with the first place point in the Central. So I'll start with the East, and we can just kind of break down how we feel. We're not going to predict a winner, per se. Well, I guess we can, because it's kind of hard not to.
I want to talk about, can we talk about how sad we are of teams that didn't make it?
Yeah, sure, I can start at the bottom.
All right,
so how sad are we that the Los Angeles Kings missed the playoffs?
It's funny.
I'm so happy about
How do we feel that the Edmonton? Well, we talked about that.
Super happy.
The Anaheim Ducks missed the playoffs.
Shockingly,
stupid.
Shockingly, very positive.
How do we feel that Vancouver missed the playoffs?
Elias Pettersson,
suck a giant.
How do we feel that Minnesota missed the playoffs?
Fuck them.
Boudreaux, get your defensive style of play out of here.
Chicago.
Didn't work. I don't care.
Arizona.
A little bit sad.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm so happy.
You don't like Arizona?
Stupid. Fuck them. Give us back our history, you bastards.
So much anger and the police siren going off in the background. It's just
I know, right?
Yeah, they heard me. I'm going to fly. I'm going to Phoenix and kick each one of them in the balls.
Okay. How do we feel that Ottawa missed the playoffs?
Meme.
Yeah, agree. New Jersey?
A little sad.
No, not sad. Give us back Taylor Hall.
Okay.
Do not care.
Buffalo.
Kind of sad.
I think it's kind of memeable because they won 10 in a row and everyone's like, oh, the Sabres are so good, and then they don't make the playoffs.
That is true. It is also pretty memeable.
Yeah.
It's like 50-50 because I kind of want Dahlin to like knock the socks off the NHL, and I also kind of want the Sabres to never get anywhere near the playoffs ever. So,
are you sad about the Sabres missing the playoffs, Chris?
A little bit. They're kind of like the U.S. Oilers / Jets. So,
Detroit.
I don't know.
Anyone care about Detroit?
No, pretty neutral in that one.
They had so much success, they can suck a raw egg for a while.
And they never really pissed me off, so.
The Rangers?
Ryan Strome is apparently the second coming of Christ for them, so apparently. Happy.
Philadelphia?
Eh.
I'm actually kind of disappointed. So I don't like Philadelphia as a team. But I do really like Carter Hart, so I was kind of sad that I would kind of wanted them him to come in and be like the savior.
You wanted Carter Hart to get the heart.
Yes. Florida.
A little sad, but also a little bit happy because I kind of hate their management.
Yeah, yeah. And but then probably the closest person to making it that is on the outside looking in, or yeah, the outside looking in, Montreal.
I'm devastated.
Dude, fuck,
so sad.
So happy.
Yeah, I'm also disappointed too. I love Carey Price.
Yeah, and I like made the prediction back in October that he was going to win the Hart Trophy, and he's not going to make it if Montreal doesn't make the playoffs. So
yeah, yeah, I agree. Okay, sad. So starting with the people that will be playing. All right, so the Tampa Bay Lightning with 128 points, a goal differential of plus 103, will be playing the Columbus Blue Jackets at 96 points and a plus 22.
Oh, my God.
Blue Jackets are going to sweep them.
So this will be an interesting test for the Blue Jackets that have not been doing very well after selling the literal farm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun series to watch.
I think so, too. All right, then... The Boston Bruins will be playing. Is that right? Yeah.
Toronto.
I don't think so.
What? Is it not?
How does it? Does it? Right? It just plays top plays bottom, right?
I'll get there. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, see, I'm just looking at division standings right here.
Let's see. Oh, Boston and Toronto play each other.
Really? Okay, so Tampa still plays Columbus, though.
Tampa will play Columbus unless Columbus wins and Carolina loses.
Okay.
or if Columbus wins and Carolina loses in overtime.
Okay, so then how do we feel about Tampa-Carolina?
That one's an interesting one, I think. I think I'd rather see Tampa play Columbus because I kind of want Carolina to go way around. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. What do you think, Chris? Tampa-Carolina?
Tampa, Carolina. Carolina might win a game, maybe.
Give the Lightning more trouble. Carolina or Columbus?
Okay, neither.
I guess that's a good answer, actually.
I mean, I
don't think either are that good. I mean, I think Carolina's probably a little bit better team. Like team not in the quality sense, but team as in the playing as a team sense. So that would help them a bit, but no, they can't match them even close. And I don't know. Tampa Bay Lightning this year are probably one of the best teams we've seen in a decade, if not more.
Yeah.
Most wins ever since the 1996-97 Detroit Red Wings.
It's everything. It's just their dominance. You look at all their underlying like metrics. They're all extremely impressive.
Like if I had to pick like out of Columbus and Carolina, who would give them a better matchup? I picked Columbus because I think Bobrovsky could steal some games.
Good point.
But that'd be about it.
Okay, so then...
That is a good point.
Washington, Carolina. Do we think Washington can do it? Do you think they beat them?
Yeah.
Then Washington, Columbus.
I mean, I'm still picking Washington either way.
Yeah, even though Columbus gave him a pretty wild ride there in the first round last year.
Columbus is a good team. I wouldn't be surprised to see Washington get upset because I just don't – I don't know what it is, but I just don't – I don't feel it with them this year, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Chris, what do you think? Carolina Capitals.
It really depends on Holtby, I think. He's going to be a huge factor.
Good old Saskatchewan boy. He'll win
it. Do you guys think gives Washington more trouble, Carolina or Columbus?
It's a hard question, man. It's a hard question. I'm thinking Columbus for a lot of the same reasons.
Okay.
As Tampa.
So now we're getting into the definite matchups. Islanders, Pittsburgh.
Which I think is almost certain.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, dude, I'm picking the Pittsburgh Penguins on this one. I don't really believe in the Islanders.
If we split the season series, it is a tie 2-2. Pittsburgh
I still don't believe in the Islanders.
The more recent ones, though.
Pittsburgh has Crosby, so I'm going to pick Pittsburgh in almost every single matchup.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, what do you think? Islanders, Pittsburgh.
I'd say Pittsburgh because of experience.
And so, okay, my question to you guys, do you think the – because so far the Islanders, big story going up behind the Islanders, other than them just being good, is how good their goalies are. Do you think their goalies hold up in the playoffs?
I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do with their goalies.
They go with Lennon.
Because, like, throughout the season, they've been, like, going one game kind of the entire time.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely interesting.
If I had to pick one, I'm going with Lehner. Yeah. But, like, you think they're going to go back and forth at all?
Maybe. I think they won't hesitate as long to, like, if one guy has, like, a bad game or, like, a couple, like, they won't hesitate as long to switch it out. Whereas, like, right, if your starter has a bad game, you're still going to start him in the next one.
Right. So you think it's more like a Fleury-Murray kind of situation?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But, like, after Murray won them the Stanley Cup, so the second
time. Yeah, and Fleury won them the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so when they were both, like, proven.
Right, right, right. And then the last matchup of the Eastern Conference, Boston-Toronto. This is the third time in the last 4 years, I think, they've met in the first round. Boston takes the season series and a score of 4-1 or 3-1.
There's no chance in hell of taking Toronto to win this one. Yeah,
no. Chris, I have a feeling you're going to say the same.
Fuck the fucking Maple Leafs.
So I will be a bit of a heel here, and I would like to see Toronto beat Boston.
What? Boo! American? No kidding. You need to come back to Canada and learn what it is to be bashed by Leaf stuff constantly.
Dude, I see it on Twitter. It's the worst. Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, so then there's a little bit more ambiguity here and room for change in the West. Start with, though, pretty definite matchups. What we have here is Calgary playing Colorado in the first round. Season series is split at 2-1 for Calgary, though all of them, except for one, were decided by one goal.
I kind of see Colorado as, like, a shitty Calgary.
Yeah, a bit. I would agree.
Like, Colorado, I think, might have the advantage on their first line, but lacks the depth forward-wise. Defensively, Calgary obviously gets the nod. And then goaltending, who the hell knows?
Like, yeah, you take Rittich, who's never played or who's a rookie in the playoffs versus Grubauer or Varlamov.
Or maybe the Flames are playing Smith, who has been a freaking seed.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. Chris, what do you think? Calgary, Colorado?
Well, I don't know. Is Rantanen going to be back?
Not a clue.
That's a good point.
That's a very significant player,
yeah,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, didn't even know he was out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like Calgary plays a better team game, and that's why they've had their success this year. And I feel like Colorado has more, like, game breakers. They have more, like, talented people who can score. But I don't think that really translates very well into the playoffs, so I feel like Calgary's going to win this one.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'd have to agree, but I could see a scenario where Colorado upsets them.
Yeah, for sure. I think if Colorado can keep it close, right, and you get a couple, like, overtime winners from McKinnon and, like, Landeskog and all that stuff, like, I think they really could scare the Flames.
Yeah, like, this isn't near as certain as the East.
Yeah.
If the Flames aren't disciplined, Colorado could just beat win the series on their power
play. Yeah, that is true.
But again, Brent, it's going to be back.
Very true.
All right, and then another one that's almost certain is San Jose Vegas. The series is even at 2-2. However, all of San Jose's wins have been one-goal games, and both of Vegas' wins have been absolute blowouts.
All right, I'm going to guess that Chris is going to pick San Jose while Mike will pick Vegas.
I am picking Vegas.
Fuck Vegas.
Yep. Both, and you hit it on the head, pal.
I'm so good at this game. I'm going to go with Vegas as well.
Ugh.
I think
disconnected.
Oh, no.
Fleury gives them a much better chance to win than Martin Jones does.
Yeah, the San Jose's goaltending has been god-awful, and I think Vegas just plays I think especially with that scary line of Pacioretty and Stone, and that's not even mentioning the first line of Vegas, I think they beat them.
I think Vegas wins up front, might lose defensively, but definitely wins goaltending.
Yeah, I think up front, to be honest, depth-wise and all that, San Jose and Vegas have a pretty even matchup when it comes to that. Defense, I would also give it to San Jose, but goaltending, Vegas, all day. Fleury's a freak in the playoffs.
He carried them last year.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
What an amazing gift the NHL gave Las Vegas.
Must make you guys feel great as Oilers fans, eh?
Yeah, I'm so glad.
I mean,
glad
like, they stole
Griffin
Reinhart, so.
They what?
They stole Griffin Reinhart from the Oilers, so.
Yeah, that's bullshit. True. Okay, so now to the fluctuating ones. As of right now, if the playoffs started right now, it would be St. Louis versus Dallas.
Let's just go with that.
Okay, so
actually, no, it's more fair to say that Winnipeg. I don't know. Do you think Winnipeg's gonna win today?
Yeah, it really. All the
I think they're gonna win today.
Okay, so we'll say Winnipeg wins today. Yeah. That means Winnipeg, so Dallas.
Yeah, and then St. Louis, Nashville. I think that's probably the most likely.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so. We'll end with the Jets. So, Nashville, St. Louis.
Ooh.
St. Louis is actually ahead of Nashville with 99 points.
This is a hard series to predict.
I think St. Louis is going to win. I think they're going to win because of just – Nashville's just has not played well the last half a year. And St. Louis obviously has been pretty red hot.
Okay, so now –
Also
– Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
So my question again, though, goaltending here, Pecorine has been known to be a really good in the playoffs, and Jordan Binnington is untested.
I think you should interview some Jets on how good Pecorine is in the playoffs.
Yeah, all right. Fair, yeah, uh-huh.
And then interview Binnington and see if he even shows any emotion whatsoever.
Dude, the dude's a
Or that he even knows who Pecorine is.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going with St. Louis as well.
St. Louis?
I don't know. I just think they're right in the world. Yeah.
I think it'd be neat to watch, for sure, especially knowing like where St. Louis was in November.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm on the St. Louis train.
So then, yeah, sure, we're all on the St. Louis train. Then Winnipeg, Dallas.
I'm picking Winnipeg, easy.
Yeah,
I don't think
I'm also picking Winnipeg.
I kind of want Dallas to do something just because I like Ben Bishop, but that's about it.
Is Bishop even going to play, though? Because I'm pretty sure he's hurt.
Oh, is he still broken? Then definitely Winnipeg.
Well, dude, Ben Bishop has this, like, horrible habit of playing out of his mind for like the last couple months of the season, and then 4 games before the playoffs start he like breaks something.
That sounds about right.
It literally has sunk the Lightning like 4 times because of that fact.
Apparently he's playing tonight.
All right, well let's see if he stays in the net.
Got him.
All right, boys, well do you guys have anything else, because that's really it.
Well, Chris, who do
you
think is going to win?
You thought I was going to make the think the Jets were going to win.
Okay, yeah. Chris, thanks. Knowing the way the Jets are playing right now, do you think they will beat the Dallas Stars?
I mean, if they continue to play their play way they're playing right now, I don't think so. But here's the question. Is there a magical switch? People keep talking about this switch.
Yeah.
Is there a switch that these players are going to like flip and they're going to, you know, start playing the way that they can play? I am very suspicious about of it in some respects, but in other respects, I did watch them absolutely rape the Nashville Predators in a masterful beatdown of epic proportions. Yeah. Like that game was like, they weren't even in the same league.
I think we know what Chris's favorite game from the season was.
Well,
there's been a couple of really, really good ones, but that was definitely one of them.
Well, you know, when you look at when the Oilers play against the Winnipeg Jets, it feels like Winnipeg's on another level. I don't get the same feeling when they play against the Dallas
but
Stars.
I remember that one time when we came back from a 3-goal deficit in the third period and won it in overtime. Remember that?
Did it. hold your head up.
Oh God, dude.
Okay, so I'm gonna make a hot take prediction right now.
All right,
Matt Hendricks will score a playoff goal.
Wow, that's even God, dude. I thought you were gonna say play a game.
No, he will score a playoff goal.
I think it's fairly likely he plays a game because Tanev's out, and I think. Shit, I can't remember who it was. Was it Roslovic? Somebody else went out. So I know Par Lindholm was playing. I think it's a fairly safe bet that Hendricks will get a playoff game.
Yeah.
No.
But will he score a goal? Maybe.
You know what? Take it a step further. Say that he gets a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Get out of here.
I think it's just as likely.
Well, he is 96% glue.
Yeah. All right, boys. So there are two games tonight to round out the regular season. So if I win this tonight and we all tie, this will be the worst case scenario. However, Chris and Dalton, it's down to you two, really.
Chris, bet the same way with me for every single game, so no matter what, there's a tie.
Nope.
That's just bad content.
What? That's great content. What are you talking about? All right. Everybody wins except for Michael.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Okay. So first game of the night, Winnipeg in Arizona. Dalton, start us off.
He'll put me under the gun first, Dave. Yeah. Oh, that's nice of you. Arizona is mentally checked out to the point where they're so sad they're even a hockey team. Winnipeg wins 4-1.
4-1 win. Okay, Chris, I'm gonna have you finish Winnipeg, so I'll go. I'm gonna say Jets win 5-2. Chris.
I say that the Jets go up 3-0 in the first period. They start to trail 4-3 in the third period. And then they find a way. No, scratch that. They get up 3-0 in the first period. Arizona ties it in the last minute of the third period.
Love it.
And the Jets win in overtime. 4-3.
Love it.
4-3 OT win. Okay.
That's the script.
Dude, I'm going to be like hitting, going back and forth between these games over and over again.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm keeping track of these scores. Where's my paper?
Okay. Last game of the season. Edmonton finishes it out. Battle of Alberta in Calgary. Chris, start us off.
Oh, my God. I really want the Oilers to win and, like, hurt 12 Flames. No, I don't wish anyone getting hurt. But, yeah, I'm going to say the Oilers are going to beat them 5-1.
5-1 win. Okay, I'll go. I'm going to say Oilers win 4-3 overtime.
Okay, so
and we were supposed to. Drysdale's 50th goal is the OT winner.
Loving it, nice. So, guys, we were supposed to pick like different results for these games, not our favorite team's gonna win.
Well, so now it'll be based on like goal differential, I guess.
I'm gonna say that the Oilers win 5-4 in a shootout.
5-4 shootout win.
Dalton.
Just
I gave you the fucking season series and you fucking just blew it.
What are you talking about?
I picked the Oilers to win.
Well, yeah, but
you had
I
the
could,
same.
I could, what? You telling me? Okay, no, you know what will fucking it, happen, no. Chris? I'll tell you what will happen if I don't pick the Oilers to win. They'll lose. Or, what? Wait, no shit. Here, I'll tell you, Chris. I'll tell you what will happen if I vote against them.
What will happen?
They'll what? Win. If I say the Oilers will lose, they'll win just to screw me because it happens like
but that. Aw. Won't you like have a happy moment knowing they beat the Calgary Flames?
You know what? You're that's right. Fine. You're right. You know what?
No, it's too late. Calgary
wins. Can't change.
Calgary wins 5-2.
It's too late.
No changing. No changing.
Can't take backsies. All right, boys. Well, do you have anything else?
No.
I don't know, dude. I'm going to have an aneurysm.
I'm going to put ice on my face.
Yeah, apparently. You're very worked up.
All right, boys. Well, that does it for episode, what are we at, 24? Yeah, 20.
Oh, geez.
24 of South Blue Blue Line. It's been a hell of a season. We'll definitely record some playoff pods, especially because the Jets are in it. You can – should I tell everyone where they can find it just in case?
Well, probably, but like also, do you know when the playoffs end?
No.
Oh.
Like at middle of May?
All right, cool.
But
yeah, probably you should tell people.
Yeah, I probably should. Okay, so you can follow us on SoundCloud, South of the Blue Line Podcast. But if you want to support us monetarily and listen to the ads that I've badly recorded, you should listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, basically anywhere else other than SoundCloud and YouTube supports us monetarily. So that's most appreciated. We're almost to $3. So, whoop, whoop.
We're going to share a beer.
Yeah.
Michael, I like your
ad. A pop blue ribbon or something.
Oh, those are gross. But, Michael, I like your ads, man.
You like my ad, good. Buddy?
Yeah. Mic quality in it is so much better than the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I know. I recorded it because I don't gotta. No one else has to like hook it up.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. Go and read all our blogs. I will be putting out some new content after tonight once the season is officially over for the Oilers on our website southofblueline.com.
Ooh, you going to grade some people?
I'm going to grade some people. I'm going to look at some of the people that the Oilers have in the system in the future. It's going to be a big one. I might have to split it up a little bit, release them in waves.
Don't forget about my boy, William Olegason, though.
Never, never. Sick. And so, yeah.
I'll do a playoff blog or two.
Awesome. I look forward to reading it and being jealous.
I'll write a poor Winnipeg wrap-up for every single game they play.
Yeah. Sounds good. I love it.
All right, everyone. That does it for episode 24 of South of Blue Line. We'll see you guys all next week. See you, boys.
Peace. Bye-bye.